You're listening to the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May Luis's love of the gospel move your heart to action through this timeless message.
Recently, the mayor of our hometown in Oregon named this season the Season of Service. The Season of Service is a partnership between local governments, corporations, service organizations, and the churches to actively address the needs of the people in our community. By God's grace, tens of thousands of Christians volunteer their time and resources to serve those who are hurting in our community. This servant attitude reminds me of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians that our Lord Jesus had a servant's attitude. He always said Paul had the nature of God, but of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. The church community where we live has chosen to use service as a powerful opportunity to show God's love in action. Service is an opportunity to truly practice what we preach. How about you? Whom can you serve? Think of one person, just one, today, whom you could serve, and then just do it. Wash their car, mow their lawn, make them a meal, anything. Just step out in service today and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to someone in your community. You never know. Perhaps your simple act of kindness will open the door to tell them about Jesus Christ right away. What could be better than that? Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to share a few minutes from the Word of God to get going for the morning. I would like to read two or three little passages so as to keep my talking short and God's Word long. In Matthew chapter 5, the famous Sermon on the Mount, I've entitled my little meditation, it comes out of the text, A City on a Hill, A City on a Hill. So that's what we're thinking about today. Verse 13, Jesus Christ says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You're also the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let me quote the verse that we've been talking about quite a bit in the last few years here in Portland, where in Jeremiah 29:7, the Lord says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have taken you. Pray for the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And it's interesting that we're gathered as servants of God. Most of you are pastors of a flock, some large, some small, but we all leading the people of God. How good to remember that the Lord says in the Old Testament, when the Jews were captives in Babylon and they were slaves once again, after 70 years, a few of them came back, you remember, but they're still in Babylon, and God sends Jeremiah, and they were not too happy to hear him say this, but he said, seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon, because I've taken you there. Pray for the city, because if it prospers, Babylon, if it prospers, you too will prosper. So wherever we are, the Lord plants us there, and he says, seek the peace and prosperity. And then to take a New Testament passage that matches that, I'm a great believer that if you're going to use the Old Testament, you better have a New Testament passage to back it up or be cautious. So here we are, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge, the Apostle Paul says, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony to that given in its proper time. And then I want to just quote the famous verse of Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Giving his life really was the ultimate service that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made. But it was part of the service that he came to bring as the Son of Adam, become a man, and give us not only service in the sense of love and healing and feeding and raising the dead as he did in his earthly life, but also to give his life a ransom for many. And then I'd like to read one last passage. I know this is a lot of passages. It won't be a long sermon, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The famous passage of the Apostle Paul in his great clamor that we never forget to evangelize just as he did. So verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 9. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. And I do all this for the sake of the good news, that I may share in its blessings. Don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. So after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, that's a lot of reading, but I thought, as servants of God, it'll stir your imagination and the Holy Spirit can speak. But the first thing we're here for, and the bulletin says so, is a season of service. And now we've been at it, all of us, or most of us, if not all of us, for the last few months and even years here in Portland, in a more united way. As we've told the media several times, and we do it over and over, the churches have been serving for ages. From the beginning of time, the one and only Church of Jesus Christ has been a servant church. At some times, we've done it more than other times, sometimes more visibly than other times. Most of the time, the church has a good biblical habit of keeping it under their hat. There is a passage just following the one we just read, where the Lord says, when you do gifts of charity, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So I think most of us, when we do something for those who are more needy than we are, try not to make a big noise about it. In fact, the Lord says that there's not much reward to anyone who blows the trumpet and lets the whole town know what good people they are and what good things they do. But when the whole body comes together, as we've been coming together, you cannot hide it, which is what the Lord also said. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And so I love it when I travel in other parts of the country. People still have this notion that Portland, Oregon is the most pagan city and Vancouver is next to us, but they're convinced, oh, you're from the Pacific Northwest. Woo, that's the most pagan place. You got the crazies up there. And they refer to certain individuals that have made us notorious across the country. And then also, you don't have as many churches as any other region in the world is so pagan as Washington and Oregon, that is. And I always say, if you want to see a real unchurch, go to Maine. Now, that, I'm not trying to hurt Mainers' feelings, but I've been in Maine. We did a statewide event, and boy, the church is a tiny And most of the clergy have a job to make ends meet and so on. So I cannot defend the Northwest. But it is beautiful to see people say, ooh, you come from that pagan place. Yes, I'm a missionary up there. But you know, God has blessed in a tremendous way. In the last few years, you know, churches have sprung up everywhere. And the church has grown in this part of the country. And the Lord has been glorified and honored. And you are His servants in this town. And so I just thought that we should remind ourselves by God's grace that the Church of Jesus Christ is a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And when we hide our light, we're making a mistake. So the Lord says, you are the salt of the earth. That to me has to do with the works we do. I apply it to the good works, loving the needy, helping our neighbor, getting together to help somebody find jobs. Right now, I don't know, most churches, I'm sure we have a committee in our church that we didn't have before. It's just come up in the last few weeks. And we have a committee for those who are unemployed, who lost their jobs, to get together, pray with one another, sympathize with one another. And I think we've had 10 couples who have lost their jobs. 6 of them have already found a job. Hallelujah. We're still working on the other 4. And so we're doing things, and I'm sure every church is doing amazing things. I remember one church on the east side who has for many years had up to 100 small groups doing all sorts of things for the city. And some of us find out, but most of us don't know it. But the Lord says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And I feel that when the scripture speaks here, you are the salt of the earth. Somehow in my mind, ever since I was a boy, that always speaks about the good works we do, the human side, the soulish side, you know, whether that applies to human nature, to us surviving and eating and drinking and putting on clothes and so on and so on. And that's the salt of the earth. And that's a quiet job that you do. Sometimes people notice it, but you just keep putting salt and being a blessing and stopping corruption and doing justice and so on, which we all do in many ways. I meet together with some lawyers for prayer on Wednesday mornings, and one is a federal judge. And I always think these brothers, they are upholding justice in the city. And the judge is one of the better known and most respected judges in Portland. And he's a godly man, and he has been for ages and generations. He's older than me, so I can confirm that. And there are people all over town, and the salt is quiet. Salt doesn't make a noise. It may sting, but no noise, you know, but it's there doing its job. And then the Lord says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And you know, the church, for the glory of God, is supposed to be that city on a hill that simply cannot be hidden because the light is on. And when the darkness is around, you can't hide the light. The other interesting thing about the light, I'm not sure what the application is because I'm a loud evangelist, but the light doesn't make any noise either. The light enlightens those who are in darkness. And the Apostle Paul was convinced that what Jesus said, you are the light of the world. I've always been astonished that the Lord Jesus speaks through us. And he says, on the one hand, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then here in Matthew, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world because he indwells us, because we are united with him. And he who is the light of the world lives within us. Christ lives in me. He is united to the Lord, is one spirit with him. Father, thou in me and I in them, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, the concept of light, the hope of glory. So what we are saying is the joy of serving in the name of the Lord as one body. It has such a tremendous impact. We have seen, and I'm sure you have too. I know I have. I've been able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with men and women in this city that I never thought I'd get a shot at, because of the season of service. We were with Kevin at a group of younger businessmen, up and coming, very successful youngish men and women at one of the downtown clubs. And they invited us to come and talk about the season of service. And they've heard about it, of course. And I was able to present and, you know, tell what the churches had done and tell some of the stories that some of you have fed us, and we're able to talk about it. And anyway, we spoke to these youngish businessmen and women in this town who are doing very well. And it was friendly, and when there's a little bit of joshing and all that. But then we got serious and presented the gospel, and then we went for standing around having a Coke or something. And they came up and began to tell stories. And in the middle of the talk, a woman interrupted and said, my father just died in Denver. Somebody gave me a book on heaven by a fellow who lives on the east side. Have you read it? I think we're talking about the same book. Yes, it was Randy on his book on heaven. She said, it's the first time that I ever think about heaven. Have you read it? What do you think about heaven? And here we go, you know. We were there to talk about the season of service. And before we know it, we're talking about heaven and the death of her father. And then when we stood around after the session and we're having some drinks and so on, everybody was talking. Oh, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Young Life. And when I was a kid, I went to camp, but kind of drifted away. It's amazing how the conversation went. Yesterday I was having lunch with another fellow who's not a Christian yet. He's a good man and he gives a lot of money to the poor. Boy, I could tell you the story. Fantastic fellow. He loves to have me for lunch and I love to have him take me for lunch. And here comes a fellow who started one of the great companies here in Oregon. And I say, hey, I want you to meet Louis. Come on over here. And I walk up to him. This is, I'm telling you, for the glory of God. He said, oh, Palau, I heard you when you had the season of, you're a good man. I said, no, you don't know me. I'm not a good man. I'm lucky to be in the kingdom of God by the grace of God. But here we go. You know, here's a fellow who doesn't really go to church. He told me within 3 seconds, but he saw what the churches did. And he said, what you guys are doing is just amazing. Thank you. And all this and that. So when you do service, you may not see the results overnight, but you see it faster than you think. And the other day with my son's father-in-law, the other day, maybe 6 months ago, but we were at another restaurant. I don't spend my time at restaurants, but this is where you meet people. And the server comes and he's serving us and he's going to bring the bill. And suddenly he gets on his knees at the table. This is a restaurant full of people. And my son Andrew's father-in-law is from Jamaica. And he was surprised. He said, well, they revere you here. He said later. It was just a talk. He got on his knees and he said, you know, many of us in this town are so grateful what the churches are doing for the likes of me. And I won't go into the details of his story, but I think perhaps you can imagine what it was. And he moved from Florida to Portland, and he's a single guy. He's probably 45. But I thought, the church is showing the love of Christ, and this fellow gets on his knees in a restaurant, and he's a server. He probably lost his job, but I hope he saved his soul. But you know, what a touching thing. So to encourage you, we are a light on a hill for the glory of God. The light within us is Jesus Christ. As the song, the hymn we were singing said, on the cross, the light was shining. Christ took our place on the cross. And so this is what Paul says. First, he says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Good works are also reflected in the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel is good news. It is also the greatest form of social action. Because when a man or a woman's life is changed, a boy or a girl, the impact on society is enormous. Amen? So conversion to Christ is the greatest step of social action you can do. Second, Paul says, win. 5 times he uses the term win. So the first one was, woe. It's not like he's calling something down on his head. But what he's really saying is, very clearly he says, this is an imperative. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Second, the whole goal of the thing, win as many as possible. Because it's the greatest gift that God ever gave us. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, heaven when we die. It can't get much better than that. And while we're on earth, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us, it's the greatest gift. And then finally, he says, get the prize. This morning, I was thinking about that, and I called it the most unexpected incentive that God could ever give us. He says, go and win as many as possible, and you will get the crown of life. I have to meditate a little bit more on what the crown of life is, but I think what it means is when you, with the same energy as Paul, and with the same imperative of winning as many people as possible to Christ, you lead someone to Christ. There is nothing that energizes me, at least more, than leading a soul to surrender to Jesus Christ. It gives you life. It gives you excitement. It gives you something eternal to go for. It's a crown that will never fade away. So, courage, brothers and sisters. We are a city on a hill for the glory of God. And we can say, woe if I don't preach the gospel. Win as many as possible, and you will get the prize. Not that we need the incentive, but the Lord thought so. So if the Lord thought so, it's probably because we do need the incentive. If you do the job, you will get the crown of life. So let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for these men and women who are here today, Lord, because we love our city. This is where our sons and daughters, our granddaughters and grandsons study and play and work and travel and holiday. And Lord, we would love for this city to glorify your name, our city. Lord, we would love for them to be peace on the streets and quiet, that there be godliness and holiness, as St. Paul says, that there would be safety on the streets, that there would be security, that there would be abundance. And Lord, like you said in the book of Proverbs, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, you turn it wherever you will. We pray that you would bless our political leaders, our union leaders, our journalists, business people, educators, the security forces. We pray, O God, that you would lead them and that their decisions, even beyond themselves, would bring glory to your name, good to the community, unity in the city, and by the gospel, eternal life for everyone. For Lord, you don't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. Thank you, O God, for what you are doing and you'll continue to do today among us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Hi, this is Andrew Palau, and I am so glad that you were able to listen to one of Dad's messages today. I love it. We miss him every single day, you can imagine. But the beautiful thing is this, the work that Dad did for God's kingdom has not ended. Of course, we continue to spread the good news all around the world. In fact, we're reaching more people with the hope of Jesus Christ than ever before, day after day. But there's still so many, many people out there who don't yet know him. So the harvest is plentiful. We see that every single day. And we would love your partnership and support and help. And if you'd like to support Palau on this mission, sharing the gospel with every person on the planet, that's our goal. Visit us at luispalau.org and you'll see how you can do that. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.